This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Now, for anybody, any visitor to Melbourne who walks the streets, what they will notice is that there are people camped all over the place. Outside empty shops, outside...
And help me, Robert, there have been numbers done. There are more than there used to be.
There are. You know, and look, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, when we did the rough sleepers count, and we do that quite precisely, there were around 250 people sleeping rough. But then, you know, you're talking then about thousands more who are in really precarious housing situations, you know, in rooms of last resort, couch surfing, this sort of stuff. You know, I mean, none of us would want to live in the Gatwick. We all understand that in Fitzroy Street. But that's about 80 rooms of last resort. And I worry about the people who are there. Where do they go? You know, you mightn't think about it, but when a caravan park closes down in the outer suburbs, you know, for a lot of people, that's home. And they're thrown into, you know, dire straits on the streets. And there's no doubt that there's an increase in rough sleeping. And by the way, they're not the same people. So the 250 people who were sleeping rough this time last year, you know, there are still 250 sleeping rough, but probably 150 of them are different and new. Mm. And that's part of the problem. There's plenty of churn.
So it's a transient population. But yeah. Robert, something has occurred in the last 12 months, potentially. Yeah. It's become much more visible.
Taz, I don't know what it is. I really don't. I mean, you can look at it and you can say, okay, there are young people who are fleeing home because it might be violent or they're the subject of sexual abuse. There are women who are victims of domestic violence. And we do, by and large, we do reasonably well with those cohorts of people. They don't stay on the streets for a long period of time.
There are people with mental health problems. Mental health is number one,
Terry.
Particularly a combination of mental health and drug and alcohol problems.
Absolutely. Terry has nailed it in one. That is... If you could deal with that, you know, then you'd be dealing with this cohort of people. And as Terry also said, it's a mixture, often all three occurring together. And that's very difficult to deal
and
with.
And it's very obvious, actually.
Absolutely.
I think that you can see it when you walk past it. It's like a campsite.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, there are some areas, like by Flinders Street and Burke Street, it is like a campsite. In fact, outside this very studio, just back a few weeks ago, we had a couple of people who were camped out with boxes and stuff and blankets
and
tents.
Do we know why they camped there? Is it safer for them?
Do they feel?
Yep. Is it closer to what they need?
No, a couple of things. It's just down from the Salvation Army up at 69 Burke Street,
right.
So you can get a meal and a cup of coffee and some clothing up there. In the building we're in here, 225 Burke Street, there's an alcove that is open. You know, it's the foyer of the building, so there's
out
shelter.
Of the weather.
That's right. And right outside this building, there's also a public lavatory. You know, and Burke Street is busy, so if you're going to beg, you're more likely to actually get money begging in Burke Street. So there's a whole lot of factors in there that become a magnet for people who are sleeping rough. I've got a very contentious bylaw that we're looking at the moment about being able to remove when people are camping. Sydney has a rule that sort of says two bags and a swag, they call it. So you can't simply build a gigantic camp of bedding. You know, in 2 weeks just after Christmas, we removed something like 1,700 kilos, 1,700 kilos, so more than a ton and a half. And this is bedding and desks and chairs and milk crates and, you know, also, and my people, by the way, when they go and collect this stuff that's been abandoned, they're dealing with human feces, they're dealing with discarded needles. You know, it's not easy work. And this very contentious bylaw that I'm proposing at the moment allows us to remove camps. So there's no rule against homelessness. homelessness. It's not illegal to be homeless. We're not banning homelessness. But what we're saying is you can't set up these gigantic camps.
So in other words, you could pull out a sleeping bag, roll it out and sleep on Bourke Street.
We're not going to hassle you about that.
And roll it up and move on.
Yeah, we're not
but you
hassle
can't
you about
put up
And
you've
got a
structure.
Couple of bags for your stuff.
Yeah,
that, and so you're going to do the Sydney thing if you do it. That is something like that.
What's the Sydney thing, Terry?
Bags and a swag.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a... Look, the other things that... And I'm going to meet with all the service providers who don't like this proposed bylaw, and we're going to have a very reasoned discussion with them. But I actually need them to understand it is not appropriate, it is not acceptable to have these huge encampments set up of, you know, 10, 12 people all over the pavement. It's not good for the people who are homeless. It doesn't help them in a pathway out of homelessness, and it alienates the city from other people. I can't tell you, I mean, it's not illegal to be homeless, but when I get, you know, and I've got hundreds of these complaints. The young mother at Christmas time has said she brought in her two daughters and was actually outside here, which you reminded me earlier, and it was the same two people that you talked about. They were obviously drug affected. They didn't approach the mother and the two little girls, but the way they were racketing up and down the street and aggressive and shouting and, you know, shouting obscenities, for them, that was a pretty confronting experience for two little girls. And I think we've got to learn that, you know, the homeless do not have less rights than any of us. They do not. But they don't have more rights either.
So what about the other end of the equation, though? What about if the numbers have grown, if this is a bigger problem with certain groups of people we can identify, what about the housing supply end of the thing? And even if you've got good housing supply, sometimes some people, by circumstance, even there's a guy I know sleeps, squats outside the Woolworths down at Docklands, who's there by choice. He'll say that to you. You know, that's his circumstances and all that. What about the other end, though? Where can we give them somewhere to store their goods? Can we
make sure that there's
housing that is available where they choose to take that up? The guy I'm talking about, we actually got someone from a housing service, my mum and I, who give him our trolleys to take back to the supermarket so he gets the coins out of the trolleys. And Bet, my mum, who's, you know, 90, has struck up a good rapport with this guy. We got someone down there from one of the housing services who tried to work with him, but basically he's a vet with really serious alcohol problems who says none of the housing available is suitable for him because they'll all be into him about stopping drinking.
And there's an element of that. I mean, there's housing available at the moment that is vacant, but you can't use alcohol or drugs in there. And so a number of people won't take that up. It is a shortage of housing. But for a number of these people that we're seeing sleeping rough, they're actually, for the reasons that Terry outlined, they're not capable of living independently, even if you gave them a house. You know, there are lots more supports that you need. And then at the other end, I do recall when people were camping in City Square and we were able to offer housing to all of them, but I did lose a bit of patience when one woman said, well, no, that's not acceptable in Coburg. I want a three-bedroom house in Daylesford. Well, so do I, as a matter of fact. But, you know, I think there has to be a bit of the social contract here. We can't tailor your needs down to that sort of specific.
Yes.
Used to be able to when we had a housing commission and a Commonwealth State Housing Agreement, and we built government-owned public housing all over the state.
Yeah, but aren't they hideous?
Well, are they? I grew up in one.
I was really proud of the work that I started and then successive Labor ministers, Lynn Kosky, rest her soul, and then Bronwyn Pike continued as housing ministers down at Kensington, where we redid the public housing down there.
Yeah, that's a great development.
We mixed it with some private development. We took away the stigma.
That's a great development.
It is. And
there has been some great developments with so-called social housing. I understand that.
Exactly.
And,
but the need, I think, now is greater than ever before. Yeah. And look, none of us would want to go back to those Dickensian times times of almost, you know, mental institutions, if you think about those. And Tass, you and I remember the days when we were closing them down, out in the north of Melbourne. Yeah. But they remember...
The old Royal Park Psychiatric Hospital.
Absolutely.
Kew Cottages.
Yeah.
Oh, don't do Kew.
No, Kew is a different one. What was it? NIMPS, out in the north.
Northeastern Metropolitan Psychiatric Service.
That's it. Yeah. Well done. That's taking you back to the day.
It certainly is.
But they were enormous. I mean, they were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of beds. Now, we don't want to go back to a time when we incarcerate people with a mental illness in those sort of institutions, but we kind of haven't stepped up in any other way to take care of them. And so a lot of those people do wash up on the street or flow in and out of homelessness as their illness, you know, abates or comes on again.
One of the problems you've got, Robert, is you don't have all the levers, do you?
No, I mean, the
city council can pass a bylaw, so you can actually do something about what you see and others
see. So really, ultimately, all you'll end up doing, Robert, is pushing the problem elsewhere.
Well, I hope that's not the case, but what I'm trying to do, and what I've learned about being mayor, is that you have no executive power whatsoever. So all you can do is influence people. All you can do is bring people together. Now, again,
so you can't do the thing that that Donald Trump does.
No. Well, even when he does,
scribble on a bit of paper and hold
it up, and then have Congress and the Senate reject it on you. But anyway, No, you can't. But what you can do is bring people together, and that's one of the most efficient things that you can do as mayor.
Can you do much about the supply side? I see what you're doing about interdiction, if you like,
stopping the problem
as it manifests itself on the street. But can you play a role on the supply side at all?
We have in the past. We did in partnership with the federal and state government, Common Ground in Elizabeth Street. Yeah. We did the drill hall ourselves. But look, the state government has just announced an enormous amount of money for housing. So I could put in 2 or 3 million. They've put in 600. Now, it hasn't started to flow yet, and it won't until the new financial year. But when I look at that, I think, well, is my 2 million best used in there or not? Yeah. But I can think of four projects at the moment. Vincent Care, the old Ozenham house, which is being redeveloped.
That's a good project.
And that is a very good project. Yeah. Melbourne City Mission are thinking about doing one of their own. The wonderful Brian Lipman, who's Winteringham, the only program I've seen who takes people over 55 who've been on the streets for decades and successfully and respectfully houses them. They have got a project, and the Salvation Army are talking about a project up at the top of the city here as well. So there are four really good, you know, projects that are on the drawing boards from reputable, proven providers. If I were the state government, I'd be jumping behind every single one of them and funding every last dollar.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.